When Master comes, only naughty shows do how to withdraw from outside and enter this laboratory of the man body. But he also shows you how to rise above senses and have some experience. When there is no questioning of mind, when intellect is at rest, naturally that truth becomes refulgent. You see light. If you are questioning why this is, why that is not, why that has not come, your mind is not still. You see? That truth is still. So what he feels, you see, at that time, the experience of God in the form of light and sound. This is first thing. As you rise, the Master gives you an experience first to how to rise above this iron curtain of the man body. Then as you day-to-day practice, you rise above the astral body, the causal body, the super-causal body. You day-to-day more bliss, more joy, everything. Saint Tulsidas, he says when he rose above this body consciousness, reached the causal plane, he had experience of bliss and joy, he thought, oh, well, that's the most and the highest of all. And he says when he transcended the causal plane into the super causal and beyond, he thought perhaps this causal plane was only a washing room as compared with to that. Those who have tasted that bliss, they are here in the world, but they are bound, you see. Masters are going under the order of God, you see. They want to go back. Once also any of us, when have got some experience like that, we wish to go in there. Now why we don't want to go in there? Because we find joy and bliss and happiness in the outside things. And moreover, we have never cared to analyze, to go into the matter, what it is that gives us bliss in the outside things. We are conscious beings. How a conscious being can have, I mean, bliss or joy or happiness in material things, can't be. But do feel. How, why? We are bliss personified. God is all bliss, all happiness, all joy. And we are also in it, this bliss is also in it in us. So long as we are identified with something, for the time being we reflect our own happiness in those things. When that thing is withdrawn from us, or we are made to withdraw from them, we feel unhappiness. So we should identify ourselves with something which is not changing. And that is God alone. The outside things, whatever happiness we feel, they're really not lying in those things, but in our own self that is reflected there, so long as we are identified with them. So such a soul cries, oh, how beautiful you are, you see. How beautiful, how, what you say, all wisdom. He sees his wisdom in all things. Because he becomes a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. He sees it as he is doing, not I. So naturally the question arises from a new man. Well, how did you get it to this stage? You say it is all beautiful, it is all glory. All outside, inside, it is all his expression. God is light, God is everywhere. He is all wisdom, this and that thing. But how did you attain to this state? What did he do? That's a natural question that would be asked. So for that, we are all, I think, seeking that thing. First thing is, be truthful. Be truthful. If you don't tell lies, you'll change. Deeds of darkness are committed in the dark. You go and want to do it somewhere where nobody sees you. So anything that requires secrecy, that is a sin. Two seekers after God went to a master. The master told him, look here, here are two pigeons. Take them away and kill them someplace where nobody sees you. One was very active. He went round under the shade of a wall where nobody was seeing. He killed it, came back in 2 minutes. The other poor fellow, wherever he went, he did not find anyone. Any place where nobody did see. From morn till night, he was going round and round and returned in the evening unsuccessful. Master asked him, what? Haven't you been able to kill this? No, sir. Why? Could you find any place? No, sir. And who was seeing you? Then that the very pigeon was seeing me. You follow the beauty of the sayings, I tell you, you see. Live up to them. Each of one, you must be an ambassador, I tell you. The man who has got the man body, he has the birthright to become God, I tell you. There is no exaggeration about it. But pity it is, we don't follow. For that very purpose, you will find you have been given diaries to maintain. What are they for? Be truthful in mind, word and deed. Don't make false promises. Don't think otherwise, say otherwise. Let your heart, brain and mouth agree. What is the criterion of a truth? Truth, full saying. That all these three, your tongue, what you speak, your intellect, your mind, agree what you've got in your heart. Can you do any evil thing? Mind that anything when you do, you are later on asked, well, what you are doing? And nothing, sir. That's telling lies. When you tell one lie, you have to say other hundreds of lies to cover that lie. How we create our own have more thorns, you see. Who is a truthful man? Ask him any time. He is the same thing. He is not to think what he has to say. And a man who tells lies, you think, well, I have told to this man this thing, that man another thing. Is all you are trying to reconcile. But the cat must be out of the bag. You see? Even one thing, if you be truthful, you can change, you see? So naturally we want truthfulness, first of all. Not that anybody sees, you see. The God in you sees it. The master power within you sees it. So why I tell you, mind, be true to your own self. You are true to your own self, you are true to your God, to your master. If you are true to your own self, you have to fear none in the world, in the three worlds. This is the first thing required. And further, when some God in man, now I will say, where he manifests, he puts you on the way, gives a contact with you, that God power is the true master, not the son of man, mind that, that resides within you. Can you do any evil or bad thing? Even when a child of 5 years is sitting before you, you require secrecy. Our master used to say, you see, when a child of 5 years is sitting by you, you want secrecy. You are going to do some new thing, you try to avoid. When that very God power is within you, watching your every action, you see, how can you do any evil? So fear of that. Once it so happened in my life, you see, generally these controversies do come up. You see? And there was great propaganda against me. Once Master asked me to initiate 250 people in the monthly gathering, you see. And then naturally competition arises and there's great propaganda against me. I kept quiet. Because I was true to my own self. I knew God is within me, Master is within me. And it was so arranged that I could not talk to the Master for 6 months. So much influential people came up to that. So once my brother, you see, elder brother was there, I told him, if you go to the Master, he was also initiated. Just by the way, asked me if I any sin I might have committed. But his eyes were giving me support, you see. Well, he asked him, he said, you have not done anything, even knowingly or unknowingly. But strange enough, so much has passed over his head, he had never come to me to say that this propaganda is not right, which is being carried on. I never asked any question of my Master, except two or three in the beginning. So I naturally requested, I want a few minutes. Oh, yes, yes, you are welcome. So at night when everybody was away, he locked the door, I sat by him, and I told him, I said, I did not come to you, because I knew you were in me, and you are watching my every action. And the further trend, you also watched. That is why I did not come. All the tables were turned. So be truthful, I tell you. This is a very great qualification. We people don't care. We sell the prophet Joseph for the sake of little petty monies. You gamble your, what you say, eternal life with few mundane things. Be truthful. Have fear, he's seeing, he's watching. The two qualifications, you see. And the third thing is, he gives you contact with the world power, you see. How to rise and how to come in contact with the normal world power, the light and sound, which will be regular, day to day. This is the bread of life. Don't miss it. And what will happen? You will have progress day to day, inner peace, inner joy. Whatever outward prayers or performance or rites and rituals will become blessed. Yes. When you say prayer, you will find me in front of you. When you read scriptures, always is vivid to you. You see? Such liking you will find. Naturally, you will have all peace. Your soul, which is withdrawn from there, coming in contact with, you see, the God power, which is light and sound principle. The more the our consciousness comes in the all contact with the all consciousness, it overflows with joy and peace. All wisdom. God is all wisdom. And Masters, you see, never speak at the level of it, like they speak as it comes. And Emerson says, the thoughts which come without thinking, they are always perfect. And what does he do? He loves all. Even the sinners and the others. For sinners, he has got more pity and more love, I tell you. Because he considers he is the child of God. His work is to bring together all children of God together. Now, this is the preparation what you do that thing. But one thing more, he says how you became beloved of God, how the God became beloved of you. You became the beloved of God. How did you, when, take the example of, well, a girl, she has been married, she is devoted to her husband, mind and soul, true, she lives according to what he wishes, result what it is. She loves her husband and her also husband begins to love her. Whatever she wants, or needs, or he sees that he wants, he gives him, provides him, without asking for it. The lover, I mean the wife, becomes the lover of her husband, and husband becomes the lover of his wife. This is a worldly way, you see. Masters, when they give teaching, they give both ways. So those who love God come in contact with Him. Naturally, those who go at His beck and call, constant, do not do anything of their own free will, which is Atri. Well, he becomes enamored of that. The Master, he loves God, and God loves Master. But Master has no other than God in them, you see. That's the only comparative, a relative statement to show. So the question arises, how you become the beloved of God? Well, naturally, can by obeying, just like any female, any girl will do. You see, girl, when she be taught, engaged with some real, truly engaged at heart, all the while she thinks of him, is it not? And that reacts in the heart of the others. That is abiding in him, and he abides in him. So that way, that dwells receptivity, you see. And that makes what, you see? The other man does what he does, you see. There is a story in India, you see. There was one student who was called Ghanimat by name. Master fell in love with the student so by so. He could not write calligraphy, good handwriting. He simply scribbled. And the master came so much enamored of him that he began to copy the scribbling. This is a feat of love, I tell you. Love is great, has great power. One saint prays, O God, we have been liberated from the world, all entanglements and bindings. Now you take care of your own self. You are bound more than me. This is to show, you see, how can we become the beloved of God? When we obey, that's all. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let my words abide in you, and you abide in me. Only then. We do not even obey the commandments of the Master. If there is no progress, or little progress, or whatever you get and that is lost, who is at fault? Man body is the golden opportunity given to us. Who got the man body, he's got the birthright to know God, I tell you. And we are losing this golden opportunity for nothing, for us little sense pleasures. Just know, examine yourself and see where we stand. Then comes one thing more, you see. Chastity. What the husband expects of his wife? Chastity. She should love him alone. That God has given him, united him as a companion. She should be devoted to her husband. This example of the world. Similarly, a lover of God should be devoted to God and let nothing else come between him and God. Whatever he does, he does for the sake of God. Whatever the wife does, or the household affair, without any payment, any obligation, is to win the love of her husband, is it not? This is the chastity of thought, what is wanting. You know, you have been given diary for truthfulness, for love of God, also one adding is there, and love for all. For the sake of God, love all. love God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Love all humanity. You see God in your sons, in your daughters, in your husbands, in your wives. Be true. What is that love that finds love once here and then go to another? That is love with no love that changeth. For the wife to love her husband, and to for the love of her husband, she loves every house, her hardship in the house. So this is for the love of God, we should love all. He resides in every heart. There is no heart without it. We should just be chaste, be devoted to God and God alone, and no other. Even if you love your master, for the sake of God in him, mind that. The Son of Man body is blessed at which that power works, that is also within you as well. But we are after to attain that. This is how you can earn the love of your husband, you see. He will do anything at your beck and call, I tell you. Now the worldly wise masters have said, so many masters come, they say, Panuda, one Mahatma says, well, these masters are the workers, you see, executive officers in the house of God, you see. Whatever they do, God does not refuse. They are beloved sons. Moral Room says, if an arrow has been shot down from heaven, master has the power. Who is the master? God in him, mind that, not the man body. Has the power to turn away that very arrow from the very middle back. The question arises, is he greater than God? Then no. God loves him. What he does, the God in him does, he accepts. So this is what happens. He says, we are bound, O God, you can liberate us. Who will liberate you? You are bound by the chains, with the silken bonds of love, which are more stronger than chains of iron. So this is how we can reach to that. And what the soul realizes that I am the most fortunate on earth, you see. And that God loves him. When the wife thinks her husband loves him, how happy she feels, I tell you. So such a lover of God, or a wife, I would say now, our true husband is God, of the soul, not the body, I mean, you see. For the body, we are our companions. Let our bodies be reserved for them. You see? And what happens, you see? He feels God loves him. When he loves, he does not do anything. Does any lover or any wife who is convinced at heart that husband loves us, how happy she feels, you see? When you feel God loves you, you'll find you will have nothing to say, nothing to pray even, you see. Prayer comes out of the heart of a weak man when he is convinced of his greatness being in the lap of God, and God is for him, and he is for God. The soul is for God. She does not pray. Does any wife who are married to a husband, has she ever cared? That's another thing. The West now, they began to take jobs. But in the East, when one is married, she never cares for where the clothing she will have, where she will eat. She says she's married. When you are for him, it is he who is to look after you. So, this like feeling seated. Now, with all that, the further man goes to ask, well, what did you get? You have been telling so many things. What experience you had? Then she gives a reference to the experience she had. She said, I saw grandest suns of suns rising within me. God is our light. That light comes when we rise above physical curtain, little. As you rise, shake off shackles, astral, causal, that light grows more and more, comparing to billions and trillions of suns and rising. So that's our light. You see? What did you feel then? Even then there is some duality. You see the light. Seer and the seen are two. Then we have to take a further step, mind that. There was a great Shankara by name. He says, "Oh God, I know there's no difference between you and me. But I am thine, thou art not mine. Because a wave can be of the ocean, ocean cannot be of the wave." Can make you see that light of light, you absorb into that light. You become one with him. This is the ultimate goal. That light of light you absorb, and that light come into the worldless absorption, the worldless state, called by any name, light. This is a destination, goal before each one of us. We are fortunate, we have got the man body. How far we have developed, most part of our life has already passed. Fortunately, we have met with the grace of God somewhere where God was manifest, and He put you on the way, gave you some experience to start with. Years have passed where we stand, because we have not followed these things that I told you. I am giving you in a nutshell the digest what all the masters gave when they came from time to time. That requires no change of religion, no outer school, rites and rituals. Just rise above body consciousness. Make the best use of the preparatory steps you have got before you. They are all meant for developing love and devotion for God. If you abide by these, then you must take heed that the light which is given within you is not dark. Well, these words I have been giving to you from time to time in ways, in different ways. This is the digest of all that. I had the good fortune to come over here with the grace of God, met you one and all. I love you one and all. Not of my own part, but the God in me, the Master in me. No obligation. If some father loves his children, it is no obligation, you see. Similarly, I love for you, and I wish you have love for God in me, and the God in you. And what will be, should be done? Do away. And you will. The purpose for which the diaries have been given, well, understand fully and live up to them. The more you live, the more progress. Those who have some backgrounds, if they are not obeying these things, the other who is obeying, he might have started fresh, he will go ahead. Mind that. For most part of this man body has already passed, but for the sake of outward enjoyments, we are simply selling Joseph for the sake of money. Try this out. So just think carefully, you see. I have nothing to impose on you. Just appeal to your common sense for your own good and for my pleasure. Why? My Master gave me the God in him this duty. Whether I fail or not fail, it is not my job. I have to do my best. The God in me, and you will be helped without asking for it. After a week or so, I will be leaving physically, though not spiritually. This is the best golden opportunity we have had. These 3-4 months, We cannot underrate this physical presence, but you have the same radiation from thousands of miles. God is within you. Master is God in man, not the man body mind. That is already within you, that's all. Just live up to it, you just derive the full benefit of the man body, and you become, as I told you, the beloved of the Master too. Thank you.
Good evening, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the last 30 minutes of a talk entitled On the Intoxication of Love and the Master. It was given on January 19, 1964, in Washington, D.C. Our reader tonight is Sheila Gilmore.
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to pick up a little before where I left off last time in The Light of Kirpal. I'm reading the talk called Clutching. There Must Be Some Definite Purpose. I'm picking up on page 370 in my book. You must have something definite in view. These are the things to be learned. I spoke about Whittington as a child. As a child, reading in the third primary, I used to think of America. I had to go. There must be some purpose in view, you see. You must have something definite before you. What do you want? Sometimes this, sometimes that, sometimes the other. There should be tenacity of purpose and perseverance, both. And for that, a chaste life. Three things: definite purpose in view, then tenacity of purpose, perseverance, and chastity of life. I'm giving you the kernel of the teaching I have come to know. Whatever question you ask, I've gone through myself. You'll remember now? Decide some definite purpose in view, even if it's of this world. All right, do it. If you want to become a wrestler, all right, work for it. You'll become a wrestler and all the world will know you. If you would like to make some purpose in view, work for it day and night. Go on digging there in one place. You'll have it. After all, perfection is God, is it not? Be ye as perfect as your Father is in heaven. Don't you have this in your Bible? And the gurus say, from the perfect man, you will become perfect. But nothing will have diminished in him, you see. He's one with the perennial source. Mind, though, he will make you perfect. Is it not common sense, I'm telling you? No inferences. Talks at our satsang should be of that nature which will awaken people, even if they're there for the first time. Everyone will get something. People are searching how to meditate, what to do, what not to do, how to get spirituality. You say, there are five planes. On the fifth plane, God lives, and we'll go to the fifth plane. This is the way. If you repeat but may never tread on the path, then there are many people who are tired of asking, we want to know this, we want to know that, but they would not practically put their feet on the path. This shortcoming is within us. We speak of things, but we never follow them practically. That's all. Is this not a good lesson? No new thing. You do all these practices. What for? Not for the sake of the practices only, but to know yourself. When you rise above body consciousness, you see you are not the body. We are just coming, trembling here, a little hesitant. We won't cross into the beyond because sometimes we think of the other world, sometimes we think of this world. We do not stay. You peep and say, that's a good thing. You see this door. Oh, this is very pleasant. Then what do? We leave. So sit at the door with some definite purpose in view, with full confidence in the competency of him to whom you speak, and definite purpose of what you want. That is why Christ said, if you ask God, he may or may not give you, because you're not definite to whom you're talking. If you ask God in my name, he may give you, but if you ask me, you'll surely have it. What is the purpose behind that statement? If you have full faith in the Master, he will give you. He has got it. So work for it, that's all. And in working for it, 2-3 things are necessary, as I told you. You must be definite, confident. When a lady who had been healed came to Christ, he said, "Thy faith has made thee whole." She was confident about the competency of him to whom she came. Even those who have not seen the person of the Master, but are confident of some power working overhead, God, something, they will pray, "O God, I do not know where you are, but manifest to me." And he will manifest to you in that very form in which he is working. This has been my fate. I prayed God always, "God, I want to meet you. There are many gurus, many masters. The world is full of them. To whom should I go and to whom should I not go? I'm afraid if I go to somebody who has not reached you, my life's aim will be spoiled. So I'm afraid of going to anybody. Can you give me a direct revelation?" I was very confident, very definite about it. Then he appeared inside in the form of my Master. I had never heard about him. It was 7 years before I met him physically. I took him as Guru Nanak. I was a poet. I wrote many poems to him, in English, in Punjabi too. And so one day when I came to the Bayas River, I found him. I tell you, you must have something definite in your view, even if you don't know where to go. God controls everything. We're only adrift. I think you'll get more if you sit in meditation in that way. Then you may ask, what is the criterion of a master? This comes up in many cases. There are so many so-called masters. I went to one saint in my beginning search. I told him, "I have got intoxication. That intoxication will last for months sometimes. Sometimes it breaks for a fortnight or a week or so, and that is very unbearable. What should I do?" Each man has his own background, you see. The very first thing he'd uttered, "All right, you'll have to give your own self to me." I thought, who is this who is anxious about myself? I left, not having confidence in him. I prayed like that. Of course, God knows. He knows the very trend of our mind. So have something definite in view. In this way, you'll be able to make quicker progress. It may be worldly, I don't mind. When a man overflows with that power, the world, everybody knows. There was a wrestler, King Kong by name, who once came here in contest with another man, Dara. I tell you, man has something within. So I was a judge over there distributing prizes. King Kong was victorious in one contest. The other time, Dara was victorious. I gave them both prizes. Then they had a photo taken. Dara sat on one side of me. King Kong sat on the other. I was with them both. And when you see that photo, I am stronger than both of them. And everyone chuckles. So do something for God's sake. Do something. Be something. I don't say that you need not be after the world. Do something. Let the people of the world know. What are you? Have you even proved to be a friend to somebody? A friend in need is a friend indeed. Are we a friend of only our own personal self? We generally think, what is more useful to us? He as our friend or we as his friend? We are seldom the servant. Be of service to all. The perfection of everything is God, I tell you. We read the words, be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. We never go down deeply into the meaning of what we read. I am quoting from the Bible so that you may be sure these are no new things. These messages have been given by all the masters in their own languages, but because you know the Bible, I'm quoting it to you. Dig down, go deep down. From the perfect, you will become perfect. This is what one guru said. How can one who is not perfect himself make you perfect? So try to be something. Decide and work for it with one purpose in view. When I entered the world, I had ambitions. There was one rich man who made me offerings of so many buildings, one or two libraries according to my taste. But I decided God first and worlds next. So I think I am committed. I speak books now, you see. All these things you are recording will be put into books. So please do have something in view and work for it. Leave off all questions. When once you decide, work for it. If you do a little daily, regularly, like a tortoise, you will reach the goal. We're running like the hare, jumping and then sleeping. The other who is regular will reach the destination before you. That's what we do. Run by leaps and starts, sometimes this way, sometimes that way, and the distance overhead remains the same. To fall in sin is manly, but to remain there is devilish. The distance still remains before you. You may fall on the way, then rise. Arise, awake then, and stop not until the goal is reached. Are these not the same teachings? So all saints who came in the past said the same thing in their own languages. The mode of expression was different, the way of expression was different, but they taught these very same basic things. These very things they taught. So please decide and work for it regularly. With what? Definite purpose in view. With faith in the competency of him from whom you get instructions and to whom you pray with perseverance and chastity. I think that boils down the whole thing very simply, does it not? Do you understand very well now? Okay, then what remains? To put it into practice, that's all. So anything else? I think that will do. Thank you kindly. That was a good question today. All right, I'm leaving the light of Kirpal and moving to His Grace Lives On, the epilogue, which is a talk Master gave on true meditation in late January of 71 in Rajpur. So Master says, so when sitting for meditation, the positive way is not to say, no thought should come, no thought should come. The positive way is to put your whole attention into one object of thought. Negative thoughts, negative way of thinking always has an adverse effect. This is all a feat, as I told you, of attention or surat. True worship is to be wholly, solely devoted to one. This will be developed by regular practice in the accurate way. If you will do it accurately in that way, continually for some days, for an hour, two, four, five, like that, continuously, naturally, mind will have the habit. Mind wants bliss, joy, and it will taste that bliss. Mind will not permit you to go that way because it knows when you get to that blissful state that you will never want to come back to recede from there. So make friends with your mind. Make friendship with your mind. All right, dear friend, wait. We'll do that, what you want. But let us do this for a while. How to explain so that this may be clear. Make friendship with the mind. You want to eat something? All right, we'll give you something to eat. But first, for a while, let us do this. Then we'll give you what you want. Do you know in the Bible what Christ says? Wait, Satan, wait. Wait for a while. That means, wait, we'll attend to you. This will help you. Mind wants something to be done. Again you sit, again mind drags you. All right, wait, friend. I'll be with you. Wait for a while. By repeating the same thing daily, it will turn into habit, and habit will turn into nature. So, regularity. The word regularity means not only sitting physically, but sitting wholly and solely. I always use the words wholly and solely, not physically. I never mention physically. Even if you are physically there, you may not be wholly and solely there. The longer you are able to stay wholly and solely devoted to one object of thought, the more progress will come. Of course, one thing in the way is clutching. You become emotional. That very emotion is your ego. The longer you stay there, the better the results will be. When you go out into nature, seeing nature, enjoying, that's all right. There is one power working behind nature. Turn to that power. Then sit down in your meditation. You'll enjoy both, outer as well as inner. So the positive way of thinking is always helpful, you see. If you hear, don't look, don't reach the other side, you'll naturally say, what is the other side? Look wholly and solely into what is in there, and the other side will come. These are very minor things, you see. Doing the same thing in one way is binding you. The same thing in another way relieves you. If your whole attention is devoted to one object, wholly and solely, and you're truly cut off from all the world outside, that is true renunciation. What is true renunciation? To be cut off from all outside. Not leaving hearth and home. You may go into the wilderness. Even then you have the outside if your attention is there. So true renunciation follows when you are devoted wholly and solely to one thing. That's a training. That is why it is said work is worship. You train in this way, then train in the other way. Man learns swimming in water, does he not? So, meditation, true meditation, I might further add the word true, is to be only at one point wholly and solely. That is a training ground in the worldly things. Then go on. You'll enjoy more, I tell you, even outside. Also, you will find pleasure in work. Many engagements you will have. That will be the training ground. So true renunciation does not mean leaving hearth, home, this and that, eat and drink. It is only when you are wholly devoted to one point, when you are absorbed, cut off from all outside, even from your body. So regular practice will make you an adept in this. Today, you may stay absorbed 2 minutes, and then with practice, 5 minutes, then half an hour. Out of the whole time you sit physically, say for 4 hours, if you are there for even a half hour, you'll be more successful. So, at night, always repose in your meditations and lie down relaxed. go into sleep with that very thought of God. Even while you are sleeping, that thought will be reverberating with the circulation of your blood. When you rise in the morning, you'll feel you had been doing this remembrance all through the night. The disciple says, "But how can we remember Simran in our dreams?" And Master says, "That won't come in a day. Dreams and visions are two different things. Dreams come up as a reaction to your uncollected, unregulated thoughts. At the time, you do not remember what you've actually seen. In the morning, you might have some vague memory of it. That is a dream. When you have a vision, that means you are conscious at the time. You're talking, you're hearing. You'll also remember everything. That is not a dream. That is withdrawal from the body. Even in dreams, the withdrawal is from the body. The difference is that in light sleep dreams, you go to the gullet and to the navel in sound sleep dreams. In that case, when you become empty, you remain conscious. Sleep is there, but you remain conscious. My body sleeps, not I. Then you have visions, and they are true. Sometimes the initiate cannot rise above, and he comes down to help there. So those are real. That's the difference. When you see anything, continue looking. That's the only thing. Then that will become clear. That will help you. If you continue like that, you'll be successful. In the beginning, when a man learns how to swim, he makes an effort. When he becomes proficient, he simply swims with no effort, with one leg here, there, going on like anything. I have been swimming in rivers. I am very fond of rivers. In the Jhelum River, there was a very big flood. I would just go to the top, and in the middle of the river, I would swim. No fear. It is your own fear that kills you. The water won't let you drown. Only little effort is needed. So this comes only when you become an adept. Regularity in the accurate way pays. That's all I can say. Physically sitting at the door with your mind running away to all sides, the four sides of the world, is no meditation. That is why Kabir says, if your body is sitting by God or by the Master, and you are running away to the outside things, that is no company of the Master. Company of the Master means when you are wholly and solely there. That sort of absorption will give you more, better effects. You'll learn more. That is why it is said an hour of sitting like that with the Master will give you more than 100 years of regular penances. Penances are done only to come up to that state. There you sit by fire. Otherwise you're thinking how the fire is made, how we are to strike one stick against the other, how to kindle it. Disciple says, in the beginning, you recommend that we sit for 2 hours a day. But what if we can't sit that long, wholly devoted? Would you recommend that we start with a shorter time and break it up when thoughts are coming and then try to lengthen it? Master says, tithing has been the custom all through life. To give out a tithe, tithe of money, tithe of time, 2.5 hours, tithe of everything, that has been the custom all through history. If you sit for 2 hours or 2.5 hours, you may have some 5 minutes in true meditation. All right, then, if you can devote wholly and solely for 10 minutes, an increase like that, that's all right. I have no objection. Purpose is there. That is why I say don't go to meditation as an imposition. go fresh and buoyant, just as a son goes to the mother. This is somewhat binding. 2 to 2.5 hours time is necessary. You should at least put in that time. Out of that time, I think you'll have some minutes like that. But if you've only put in 5 minutes, then out of the 5 minutes, maybe 1/5 of 1 minute you're there. Hafiz says, paint the whole wall. Do it to help yourself. Even if you cannot paint the whole wall, you can do something at least. You were to jump 5 feet, for instance, or 10 feet. Have the ideal of 5 feet, then you jump at least 1 or 2 feet. You follow my point? Try to follow. If you have got something higher before you, you will always try to come up to at least half of it. If you always have got the lower ideal, you won't even reach that lower, and you will go down still further. At the same time, I'm telling you, if you can put in 5 to 10 minutes in that way, wholly, solely, then increase, that's all right. But you will find the other way better. Now you've got 2 hours. You may be sometimes successful, sometimes not. But when you have 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I have to put down only 5 minutes recording in the diary. That's the underlying reason. Everything has something underlying. A man cannot become an adept in one day. If you can do it, well and good, I'll be most happy. If you can put in 10 minutes today, wholly, solely, then 20 minutes. Increase 10 minutes daily. After 1 week, you will have 70 minutes. I wish you to do it. And after 15 days, 150 minutes. Do that. I will be glad, you see. I don't want work done in a slipshod way, but in an accurate way. Mind will question so many things and involve you, induce you not to put in 2 hours. So start with 5 minutes, all right, do it. I quite accept that from today. You accept it? The person agrees. All right, take up that way from today. Your mind will delude you. Don't listen to him. All right. You'll agree to sit 15 minutes at a time. And the person speaking with Master agrees to sit 15 minutes at a time. Now, what further thing will come? If you succeed in putting in 10, 15 minutes, if you succeed, I'm adding the word if, then after that, when you reach the place where you can see water, would you not like to dig further? But you reach there, then you recede, again dig another hole for 15 minutes, then leave there. All right, I'm very glad. Let's start from today, in your case, 15 minutes 3 or 4 times a day. I am agreeable to any way, but do put in time, please. I don't think you'll find any friend like that who will allow you every concession. But if you do agree to this, be sincere. Don't deceive your own self. Put in 15 minutes at a time, honestly, wholly, solely. You'll change. First thing, sit relaxed, quite relaxed. Then put in 15 minutes. You'll do wonderfully. Now all bindings are gone, you see. But at the same time, keep the higher ideal. Naturally, you will do less. It is but natural. So you'll start from today like that. If all of you start like that, I have no objections. 15 minutes at a time, wholly and solely. All right. I'm ready to adjust myself to anything you like, but accuracy is wanted. Then you don't deceive your own self. Mind is very tricky. If you are drowsy for half an hour, then? When you are sometimes drowsy, will that sitting count? That won't count. Sit fully conscious. Start like that. Then you will have 1 hour full meditation, which will give you more. you will have more. Then naturally you will want more. You'll have more bliss and you'll get more too. We think of how much time we have put in. Sometimes we look at our watch and see how much time has passed. That counting won't do. Sit, cut off. You're going to die once and for all. That is meditation. You may return or not return. Mind is very tricky. Always like a gentleman, it will say, "All right, why not put in 5 minutes at a time?" So, all right, I quite agree with your mind. I know it's very tricky. Anyhow, I'm glad it raises its head. When the serpent raises its head, you see that there's danger. So tell your mind today to put in 15 minutes wholly. That is what is wanted, you see. When you stay there for longer periods, that will give you more progress. Now, follow the injunction of your mind today and see that he does not further delude you or play tricks with you. All right, that is the end of that talk. I started with the middle of the chapter in Light of Kripal on clutching and finished that and went to His Grace Lives On, the epilogue talk, which is called True Meditation. Thank you. Thank you for everything, Master.
And thank you, Sheila, for reading Master's valuable words to us. There were 62 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for bringing us together to receive your loving guidance and blessings.
So Master's come to tell us, they address us either as a man, from the level of a man, O man, awake, or from the level of the soul, conscious being, O children of light, awake, you are asleep,